it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now, let's let you hear the full conference call from Kyle Shanahan today. Obviously, a lot to get to, and he started out by talking about the injuries.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game. Ben Bartsch had a mild knee sprain. He'll be day-to-day. Juwan Jennings with his shoulder. We're still evaluating, waiting for the information to come back. George Kittle did have a hamstring. He's going to be out a few weeks. Brock Purdy hurt his left shoulder and toe. We'll see how this week goes for him. And that's it from the game.
Kyle, is one of those two Purdy injuries more severe than the other and he in risk of missing a start or two?
I'd probably say the toe's worse than the shoulder.
And what about his availability this week?
Yeah, we're not sure. We got to see how it heals and how the week goes on it.
Is there any indication on how severe Juwan Jennings' shoulder injury could be?
No, the MRI was good. We're just waiting for a CT.
Kyle, with Brock's toe, is that a turf toe injury?
Just toe. That's all I got here.
Sure. Have you guys made any decision as far as how you plan to proceed at the place kicker position?
We're looking into all that stuff now. I mean, there's options. Whether it's stay the status quo, we can bring in guys for workout, practice squad. But we're going through all that stuff right now. I'm just finished with the team, and I know the personnel department's going to look into all that stuff and give us those options.
And then as far as the re-signing or bringing back, I should say, of Kendrick Bourne, can you kind of give the reasoning or just what you believe that Kendrick can bring to the team? I mean, you obviously know him very well.
We love KB from his time here, and he did a hell of a job while he was in New England. So when he got let go, we tried to bring him in here a couple weeks ago, and weren't able to quite get it done. And then Washington didn't it either, and it ended up working out with us in the long run. So we got him here today. First time I've seen him back in the building was at a team meeting a little bit ago, and we're pumped to have him back here. We'll see how he does when he gets on the practice field Wednesday.
For the Brock Purdy shoulder injury, is that his left shoulder non-throwing? And did that occur on it was a play in the first half where he was driven pretty hard into the turf. Is that the origin of it?
Yeah, that was it. The one he threw it, I think it was when he just overthrew Ricky a little bit to the left and went into the ground on it.
What about some of the other guys? Did Trent Williams make it through the game okay, and how did Christian come out of that game?
Yeah, I got no reports on either of them today, so I'm sure they're normal soreness from a physical football game, but their injuries were no reports on them, so that means they're good.
Kyle, is that a conversation you have with Jake about bringing in guys to try out at kicker and maybe bringing someone on the practice squad?
No, I haven't had it with him yet because I'm not sure which direction we're going to go. But whenever we decide on something, then we'll address it with him.
Kyle, Christian was on the field for 58 snaps out of 76, which is a lot for an offense. But was that about kind of where you'd like it to be rep-wise?
I don't really look at it. I don't put a number on it. Never have. I'd be surprised if I ever do. Kind of how it plays out. I mean, I think that's around it, give or take a few either way. But he's a hard guy to get off the field. We did it throughout the game, but sometimes we'll do it more, sometimes we'll do it less.
Kyle, are you going to have to put George Kittle on injured reserve and call up Braden Willis, or what's the plan there?
I mean, when they tell me a few weeks, you know, it's always a possibility. I mean, in order to do that, it's got to be a four-week injury, so I don't think we've decided on that yet.
Kyle, looking at the so many young rookies on the defense, how did you think their performances were? I know Upton Scott had a challenging day, but other than that, how did you feel they went?
Well, I thought they did good. I mean, definitely things they can improve, but I mean, I think they're all about on the same level. I mean, even to throw Upton against all the other guys. I mean, Upton was at the point of contact a lot more, just being a nickel and how much they target their slot receiver. So I think you could see that a lot, but and I thought he did a good job. I mean, there was a couple that he missed, but I thought Upton played well, and I was pretty happy with all the other rookies too. Definitely a lot of stuff we can coach him on and get better from, but I thought it was a good first game for him.
What do you see from Mykael Williams in particular? He didn't seem to register a lot of stats, but it seemed like he was a big part of the run defense.
Yeah, I thought he was. You know, I think we mixed in a bunch of five-man lines and four-man lines, which I thought he did a good job on, moved around a number of times, and I thought he played his man well. I didn't see him on the stat sheet a ton, but I thought he did a good in his job and what we asked him to do, and I'm hopefully he'll continue to get better.
How did you think Marquise Siegel performed?
I was real happy with him. Flew around, made a lot of plays, had that one missed tackle, but even I thought his one missed tackle was good. You know, he didn't break down at all, shot his guns, made the back come to a complete stop, and had that fumble recovery and played very fast in the game, didn't hesitate, and that's where it starts.
Now, you know, you're happy with the way you guys responded to adversity and everything, but when you look at the stats, do you come away at all thinking, man, we should have won by more than that?
I mean, you always think that. I mean, not always, but, you know, I think we punted a couple times in the game, but, you know, when you have four drives in a row, I think that had, you know, I think there was one missed field goal, two picks, and a blocked field goal. You know, that's four drives where you're not giving points, and you do that four times in a row, I'm worried that it's going to go completely the other way. So for us to be able to hold them, play good complementary football there, you know, I think on our four sudden changes, I want to say we only gave up points on one of them, if that's correct. Which allowed us to stay in it and overcome those things. And then I love how we controlled the ball in the second half, how we got the run game going and really leaned on them, which I really think kind of took their run game out of the game and allowed us to kind of control momentum and take it back over towards the end.
Kyle, when you went through the Jake Tonjes touchdown catch, what kind of stood out to you as you were viewing that?
That no one was open, and I didn't think Jake was, but for some reason Brock did. And when he threw it at the end of it, he proved to us that Jake was open because he made a hell of a play stepping in front of Tariq like that, and it was a big-time catch. Earlier in that drive, he had his first NFL catch, and it was followed the next play by a second, and I want to say it was three plays later by the game winner. So I think Brock just ended up getting confidence in him very quickly as the drive went.
He's been around, Jake has, for a while now. What is it about him that has, you know, prompted you guys to or inspired you guys to keep him around? What do you like about his game?
I think the biggest thing that stands out is his hands. I mean, he's got really good hands, which you can see on that last play. He's got athletic ability, and then when you tie athletic ability with someone's hands and size, he's got the tools to be good in the pass game. But he had to come a long way in the run game. To be able to make the team and be out there. And he has come a long way in the run game, and he continues to improve in the pass game too. So I know yesterday was his first day kind of sticking out to anyone, and hopefully he'll continue to get better from that and put together a good career here.
Kyle, you guys got the deal done with Colton McKivitz. How meaningful was that for you? And how nice is it, you know, I don't think he's missed a game since he became full-time starter, to, you know, with all the kind of moving pieces you've dealt with the last couple of years, to have a guy dependable like that?
Yeah, Colton's been one of, I think, the most reliable guys on our team, really since he got in when McGlinchey left. I mean, Colton's, to me, such a good story. I mean, he was a fifth-round pick. We cut him once, put him on practice squad. He ended up coming back and playing for us. I still remember Week 17 game versus the Rams when it wasn't until before the game that we realized Trent couldn't go, and Colton went in there and played unbelievable, gave us a chance to go to the playoffs, and it was the next year that he really took over that starting position at right tackle. And he's been our guy there ever since. So just the consistency he's played with, the fact that I believe he gets better each year also, and really that I think Colton's one of the true leaders on our team and truly a 49er, and really pumped that we found a way to keep him here.
Kyle, if Mac Jones does have to start this week, just kind of what's his state of readiness based on what you saw in camp leading into this?
I think Mac had a really good camp, going back all the way to OTAs and training camp. I think he's gotten really used to what we do. Had a little setback there the last couple weeks of camp with the injury that he got. But he had a good week of practice last week, picking up really right where he left off. And he has to go this week. He'll lead the guys. The guys will believe in him. And I know he'll do his job at a high level.
What about the number three quarterback position, Adrian Martinez? I don't think that he's attempted an NFL pass. Would you need to bring somebody in who's more experienced if Brock can't go?
It's a possibility. I mean, I think it has to, yeah, it has to do with really how Brock is probably over these next 24 hours throughout the week. But that stuff we'll look into. We've been happy to get Adrian here. Heard good things about him from the Jets and really enjoyed him last week in our first week of practice together, just watching him a little bit and getting to know him some. But all that stuff will be fluid probably throughout the week and the next 24 hours.
Kyle, with George going out, are you comfortable with Braden Willis being bumped up?
Oh, yeah. Braden was bumped up a ton last year and was on a roster a ton last year. So Braden's played in a lot of games for us, and we wouldn't hesitate to bring Braden out there.
There's a few more guys.
Kyle, does Juwan have a chance to play Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Anything else, guys? All right, appreciate
you good.
It. We'll see you Wednesday.
All right, thank guys. You. See you guys thank Wednesday. You.
All right, see you then, Kyle.
Yep. Wednesday. Wednesday it is.
Possibly.
I love it. Does Juwan have a chance to play? Yeah.
Right?
Like, I mean, he's allowed to. He's on our team.
Yeah, and we don't know what the injury is. You're still waiting on that CT scan, so.
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
Look, so much of this is just learning how to kind of translate what Coach Speak is doing, and I don't think any of us are ever perfect at it, but there are a lot of semantics going on right now. And also, if you flash back to last week, Kyle Shanahan, when it comes to injuries, does not feel like he should expand. So how's he feeling and how many games? It's like, I don't know. Does he have a chance to play this week? Yeah. Does he have a chance to be out for the whole year? Yep. Totally.
I mean, yeah.
All things are possible.
Sure.
Ian Rappaport put a number on George Kittle.
Oh, yeah? What he probably said 3 to 5.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, because that is a few. And so nobody really knows, and you won't know until you get through a week, 2 weeks, and however many weeks. But, you know, if you miss a week, or if you say somebody's going to be out a couple, or you say a few, or then you get to many, or then you get to several, all these words have general numerical kind of ballparks to them. So when Kyle says at the start of that piece that Grandy just played, he's going to be out a few weeks, that tells me that a few is more than two and less than six.
Yeah.
3 to 5.
I've never had five in my few category. I've always had few for 3 to 4.
Okay.
Because five is five, and we do kind of, there's that marker of fives in
right.
our numerical society. When you get to five, that's five. That's not a few, but that's just me. You're not wrong. That's what Rap Sheet said. 3 to 5 weeks. So let's look at the schedule and what that means, because I'm going to go ahead and assume that that definitely means three. Like, he's right? If he's out
Makes
three
sense.
To 5 weeks, I'm going to go ahead and assume he's going to miss the next three. So that's at New Orleans, home to Arizona, and home to Jacksonville. And indeed, that is the remainder of the month of September. Now we get into the fourth game from now, and that is not only on the road against the Rams, but it's a Thursday nighter, so it's only 4 days after the 3 weeks. So I'm going to put that at pretty unlikely, too, because if you can tell me today that he's not ready to play football on September 28th, what are the chances that he will be ready on Thursday, October 2nd? Probably not great, but anyway, just so you know, that's the fourth game. The fifth one is a road game at Tampa Bay on October 12th.
Right.
Now, that's obviously coming off of the mini bye because you got a full week and a half in there. Atlanta at home on October 19th would be the game, seemingly, that the tweet suggests he will definitely be back for.
Yeah, and you never know how these things are going to react and just how severe the injury is. If it's going to be that long, then you may think about an IR situation because, you know, you start running out of bodies pretty fast. And, you know, Braden Willis is a guy who you can elevate. And now you're looking at your tight end room already was relatively thin because, you know, you've got Tonjes, who just got targeted for the second time in his entire life. Three catches now for his career.
Yep.
Farrell, not a guy who catches the ball a lot. And Willis is somebody who hasn't really played a lot. So all of a sudden, you're going to be looking at a month of no Kittle, most likely. So you're going to have to figure out other ways to make this thing work offensively.
All right. Can I
As
just,
am I with my fantasy team.
Yeah, well, good luck to you.
Devastating.
Yeah.
What's 16 team league?
What's that?
I mean, I'm gonna have to pick up Jake Tonjes.
What's the situation for you and your? What's the situation
I got beat.
For you?
I got beat by Ken.
No. I know. Yeah, but like, what's the larger situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you lost your tight end.
Sure.
What else? What popped for you? What didn't? What changes are you looking to make?
I think I'm gonna get a new kicker. I got Jake Moody as my kicker, and he got 5 points, and that's not gonna work for me, Jake. I'm going to need you to make the field goals when you get a chance. He missed one, and he had one blocked. So that right there is 6 points.
Huh.
That hurt me. Harvey, the rookie running back for Denver, R.J. Harvey, he'll get there. But Denver was that whole thing was kind of a flat offensive effort. Bo Nix was not looking great there, Grandy. Bo Nix, not a great season.
No, he didn't look great.
Debut.
Well, let me just collectively for everybody, let's kind of take all that in for a second. Everything from Kyle. And let me just say a word that rhymes with
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Duck.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what he said after the second kick got blocked.
I mean,
that's what Kyle said.
He did say that. Like, ugh, we're already here. So, everybody worried about injuries all August. Then the Niners got to week one and they were very largely healthy, except for late in the week, everyone freaked out about Christian McCaffrey. And what's the only room unaffected by injury right now?
The running back room, yep.
The running backs, yeah. So that's crazy. But here we are, and the tail of the tape right now is we don't know anything on Juwan Jennings, but we do know this. We know that George Kittle is going to miss September, and we know that Brock Purdy is a maybe for this week against New Orleans. And that's a tough 1-2 punch to come out of game one with. Thank goodness they won that football game. And you'd like to think that even a patched together group can go beat the Saints, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Mac Jones would look like, especially with receivers that just showed up. I mean, that's tough against any NFL team. So, no two ways about it. This is a day after Victory Monday gut punch.
A little sobering.
Yeah,
no doubt. Done. And I just was looking at the play where I believe Purdy got hurt. It was in the second quarter, 3rd and 5, and he rolled back and they threw it out of bounds, and the defensive lineman basically planted him straight on his left shoulder on the turf.
Was Ricky Pearsall the target?
I think this was a throw that just sailed wildly out of bounds.
Lombardi did do a thing as far as he said it happened. Brock Purdy's injury is on the left shoulder. It happened when he was hit on an attempted pass to Ricky Pearsall. He did not expand as to when. And obviously nobody knows what's going on or when the toe happened.
Right.
But Kyle says that's the more serious of the two. I mean, Brock's tough. Or if we're talking about a non-throwing shoulder, I would like his chances to be able to play this weekend. Don't want to dismiss it, but that'd be my guess. But the toe injury, when they say, is it a turf toe? And Kyle's like,
it's a toe.
It's a toe.
I'm being told it's a toe. And I saw something that it's his left big toe. I don't know if that's officially the toe. I mean, you have a 1 in 10 chance of guessing the toe. But if the shoulder happened when I think it did with 12 minutes to go in the second quarter, he played 3 quarters of football.
Yeah.
He played through it with his non-throwing shoulder, so I wouldn't be as worried about that. And the toe, same thing. You mentioned it on the Tonjes winning touchdown. He running around like a crazy man back there.
I know,
there.
But you know how injuries work, and you wake up the next day, and all of a sudden they're twice the size or whatever.
Yeah, adrenaline.
Is gone as well, and so I don't know. I don't know what to think about this, but I like, man, you're sitting here watching the Niners. They win. You know that Kittle is probably going to miss a little bit. Still don't know what's going on with Jennings, but you're like, dude, you won a game on the road in the division. This is amazing. And then 24 hours later, you're like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Brock Purdy's hurt? So didn't know that and didn't think we'd be dealing with that going into New Orleans in 6 days. But here we are. Here we are, and the Niners seemingly fighting the injury bug not just as much as anyone, but at a higher level too. I mean, I don't know how many big names came out of yesterday with injury problems. I'm trying to think, like, looking around the league, if there were any other, and I know we're just going to get these updates now. Puka Nacua left to get, he got bloodied, but my yeah. God, that guy's tough as nails. Looking around the league, Brock Bowers left. He said he was going to be okay, but I can't recall any other names this big dealing with question marks for next week, and for sure, the first sort of like big name slash fantasy football tremor of the year belongs to none other than George Kittle.
Yep. Yeah. Just looking at some of the list, Drake London of the Falcons had a shoulder.
He did. He missed the last series.
Xavier Worthy dislocated shoulder by his own guy.
Yep.
And that happened back on Friday. Evan Ingram, my other tight end.
Good luck to you.
Had to leave the game with a calf. Uh-huh. So I have two tight ends. I started both, and now neither one of them will be available for me, it looks like.
Yeah.
Because Ingram's got a calf, and we don't know what that's going to be like. But, you know, other guys, Joe Mixon, who didn't play.
Well,
Mixon's
on IR, and I don't even know if he can play football this year.
Yeah, so.
I've heard some weird things coming out of that one. But anyway.
But, no, that is fairly high profile, not only for fantasy, but also for the Niners. And when you look at how they were going about their business, that opening drive, 95 yards, and, you know, Purdy was spectacular, and Kittle was awesome, and you got Robinson and CMC. The only one for Purdy, and I don't even know what the hell was going on, the jump pass? Like, is that something he's developing?
I'm out on the jump pass. Like, you know, that's a good try. That's creative. I love creativity. Try new things. Be you. But, wasn't my favorite thing.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was, like, that necessary.
I don't know. Yeah. With, like, was that on purpose, Brock?
Exactly.
Or just, like, a spasm? I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.